Good morning. When George asked me a month ago if I could preach on January 26th, I checked my calendar. I saw nothing scheduled for me to do at College Hill. So I said, of course, I would love to do that. But I didn't know that I wasn't scheduled for anything for a reason. And last week was the week of Synod. And also yesterday, we just moved to our new house. So Amy was quite mad at me that I agreed to this engagement, yeah. But what she didn't know that preaching is one of the most refreshing way to recover from physical weariness. Yeah, preaching indeed is a hard labor, but it's also refreshing and upbuilding. So I hope this morning that my preaching will not weary you off, but build you up and refresh your souls. So our passage this morning is Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Judges 2, 7 to 11. And you may find, if you are using the Pew Bible, you may find this text on page 256. So it's a very short passage, but we shall see that within a few verses, there were a generational transition, the transition from the faithful generation to an unfaithful generation. And then we may see something similar in our days, but within a couple of years, we see a transition in the world, a transition in this nation, and even a transition in our denomination. So we need to go to God's word to find biblical and godly responses to these difficult circumstances. So now please pay attention to the reading of God's word. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that God had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And all their generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Now let us pray for God's blessing on the preaching of his word to his people. O God, our Father, we thank you for giving us your word, even a warning to warn us from going astray from you. And we pray that you will use your word to hold us fast to what we have believed in, to what our fathers have believed in. May your word be our light, be our guidance, and may your word keep us in your good purpose and eternal purpose for our salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you do not know me well, both I and Amy came from China and we grew up in China. And when we had our first child, Kai, we were very committed to teaching Kai to speak Chinese. We wanted him to learn Chinese so that he could communicate to our parents, so that he could inherit the rich heritage of Chinese culture. So we spoke to him in Chinese. We read him stories in Chinese. We taught him Chinese nursery rhymes, and we let him watch Chinese cartoons. And Kai was making good progress. he could understand what Amy and I were talking in Chinese, and he could even respond to us in Chinese. But things started to change as soon as we sent him to preschool, when he started to take classes in English and make friends with American kids. And when he came back, he would only speak to us in English. Even we tried to correct him, we tried to force him to speak Chinese, he would always switch back to English after speaking two or three words in Chinese. So we eventually gave up. We stopped trying, and we were converted by him to speak English only in our house. So now, thanks to Kai, English has become the official language of our household. And all as both his younger brothers followed his steps and only could spoke Chinese. And when we have video calls with our parents, we would ask Kai Asaf and Boyle come and say hi to our parents. And then they would leave and play and do their own stuff. And when we about to end our call, we will gather them again and so that they could say bye to them. So hi and bye. These are the only two words they could say to their grandparents. And it may sound funny, but when I see the loss of the sense of loss and the frustration on my mom's face when she couldn't really communicate with her grandchildren, I started to realize how sad this is. How sad it is to see my children forget the mother tongue of their parents. And how sad it is to see my children unable to communicate with their grandparents. But what's even sadder is what we see today in this passage. That in no more than a generation, the people of Israel, the people of God, had abandoned their God. They did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for them. When the last generation who served the Lord all the days of their lives were gathered to their fathers, there arose another generation who did not know the Lord, who served the Baals. How quickly they changed their God. And how sad that the faithful generation was succeeded by an idolatrous generation. Only one generation ago, the people of Israel made this vow: far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We will serve the Lord, for he is our God. You may find this in the book of Joshua, just one book before the book of Judges. But what happened now? This new generation abandoned the God of their fathers and went after other gods. They whored after foreign gods and false gods. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and bowed down to them. How could this happen so quickly? Why did the people turn away from God as soon as the old generation passed away? This is the question all of us need to ask and earnestly seek its answer. If you are well advanced in your years and have served the Lord all the days of your life, you need to ask this question: when my children and my children's children follow my step and walk with my God. And if you are in the prime of your life, And you have pledged that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You need to ask this question. How can I prevent my household from apostasy and idolatry as long as I live? And if you are still boys and girls and haven't professed faith in Christ, you need to ask, will I grow up to be a servant of Jesus or a servant of Satan? People of Hope Community RP Church, let this very building serve as your reminder. For I believe this building started with a faithful generation who still held to the authority of Holy Scripture and stood firm in their faith in Jesus. But generation by generation, the first congregation was succeeded by unfaithful generations. And this congregation went further and further away from God and became more and more liberal until they could not maintain their existence and had to sell this building to you. But what will happen to your congregation and to your building when you get old and when the new generation arises? Yes, we need to pray that God have mercy on you, that what had happened to that congregation will never happen to your congregation. But we also need to learn from the Word of God, learn from this passage, learn from these two generations recorded here. Just as the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, that we might not desire evil as they did. So this morning I will show you three reasons for the apostasy of this new generation, this idolatrous generation that arose after the faithful generation. And the first reason is negligence, the negligence of their fathers. Look at verse 10. And all their generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Does this verse ring a bell with you? It reminds me of the first chapter of Exodus. Joseph died, and all his brothers and all their generation. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Only this time, it was the people of Israel who became forgetful. And the new Pharaoh did not know Joseph. This new generation did not know the Lord who rescued them from slavery. Again, this reminds me of what Pharaoh said to Moses in Exodus 5. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. And how sad it is that God's people now became like God's enemy. And they said to this effect, I do not know the Lord, and I will not serve the Lord. I will serve the Baals. But who shall be held responsible for this new generation? This new generation's ignorance of God and his work? The answer is the previous generation. The generation of their fathers. Just as Amy and I should be blamed for Kai's failure to learn Chinese, so the blame for Israel's failure to know God fell on their parents. But I do not mean that parents should be held accountable for every child who has gone astray. For we know there are faithful parents who have faithfully taught their children, but they may still go astray and left faith. But what I am now talking about is when the whole household, when the whole generation has abandoned the Lord, has departed from truth, then who should be blamed for? And how should the parents claim their innocence? If you are not convinced of the old generation culpability, let me read you a few passages from Deuteronomy. Read you the words that were given to the generation of Joshua when they were about to enter the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and let they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Then Deuteronomy 6:6. These words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Then Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And Deuteronomy 32:46, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. Now, there are many other similar passages in the book of Deuteronomy alone, but I think I made my point. Who shall be held responsible for the children's apostasy? To whom does God entrust this duty of raising children in the teaching and admonishment of the Lord? And on whom will God pass his judgment when the whole household fails to know the Lord? Fathers and mothers, it's not enough for yourself to know who God is, but you must also teach and lead your children to know God and serve God. If you neglect this duty, you forfeit your calling and you disobey God's commandments. So do you teach your children who God is and what God has done? I believe you have done this, and you are still doing this. And so did the old generation of Israel, who raised an unfaithful generation. Do you think they would forget to mention the name of God at all to their children? Or do you think they would forget to recount the stories of God when they ate the Passover meals, or when they lived in the booths when they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles? But I'm afraid that they failed to do this diligently, persistently, and passionately. They failed to make it the most important thing, their most solemn duty, and the most serious undertaking to lead their children to know the Lord. So parents, when you teach your children the work that God has done, do you show them how great God's work is? And does your heart sink and break when you teach them the sinfulness of sin? And is your heart moved and pierced when you taught you then about the death, the cross of Jesus Christ? And does your heart leap and burn when you show them the resurrection of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and the promise of eternal life and joy and glory? And when you teach your children the work that God has done, do you show them that God has done all these wonderful, great works, not only for you, not only in the past, but even for them? For the word of God is meant for them to hear and obey. The gospel of Jesus is meant for them to understand and receive. And it is they who need to believe and repent to come to Jesus and follow him, to have a personal and sincere relationship with the living God. And you have to do this every day. You have to teach your children the word of God every day, and you have to call your children to come to Jesus and believe in Jesus every day. My mom lives in China, but she used to come to live with us and help us look after our children. And during her stay, Kay became really close to her because Kai would spend most of his time with my mom when she stayed with us. But because of COVID, my mom couldn't come anymore. So we would have FaceTime with her once a week. But in our last video call with her, I was shocked to find that Kai couldn't recognize my mom. She actually mistook my mom for Amy's mom, and he totally forgot what his grandma had done for him in the past. So parents, you need to know your children are forgetful. If you are content to bring your children to church once a week, if you are content to expose them to God's word only on the Lord's Day, then you should not be surprised if your children fail to know the Lord. And it's because of your negligence that God becomes a stranger to them, and they become slaves to idols and evils. But if you act like Paul, if you don't shrink from declaring to them the whole counsel of God, if you do not cease day and night to admonish and exhort your children with tears, then you are innocent of their blood, even if they should perish. But by God's grace, you may trust in the Lord that your children will stand firm and continue in what they have learned from you since their childhood. And they will entrust what they have received from you to their children. And their children shall rise and tell their children to the coming generation and who God is and what God has done for them. At College Hill, we are blessed with the presence of four generations of the McCrackens who worship with us in the same building. And at Hope Community, you are blessed with the beautiful testimony of Grandpa Bill, who passed his faith to his children and his grandchildren. And let us pray that God will bless all of us with godly offspring, even to 1,000 generations. So this is the first reason for Israel's apostasy, the negligence of their fathers. But there are two more reasons. And here the second one, the influence of their neighbors. Look at verse 11. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Who are the Baals? The Baals are the gods of the Canaanites, whom the previous generation failed to drive out completely. But now the Canaanites, they became forced labor for the people of Israel. But now they succeeded to enslave the people of Israel with their idols. So the people of Israel refused to serve the one true God and chose to serve the many gods who were no gods at all. They abandoned the Lord who had brought them out of Egypt into this pleasant land, and they went after the Baals, the gods of the people whom they had subdued. And you may ask, what's wrong with them who exchanged their mighty and invisible God for these powerless and worthless idols? And this shows the influence of the environment. For just as Kai became more comfortable with English when he was surrounded by American teachers and friends, so the people of Israel were tempted to worship the Baals when they lived among the Canaanites. For this new generation grew up in the land of Canaan, a land filled with images and altars of the Baals. And they grew up with the children of the Canaanites, a people who are known for their abominable idolatry. And of course, it's how they were led astray and went into idolatry. Of course, that's why our children might fall into temptations and abandon their faith, because we are also living in a fallen and idolatrous world, in a crude and twisted generation. But let me read you the word that God said to Moses in Deuteronomy 31. When Moses was about to die and the people were about to cross the Jordan River, and here is what God said to them. When I have brought the people of Israel into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give to their fathers, and they have eaten and are full and grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them and despise me and break my covenant. For I know what they are inclined to do even today, before I have brought them into the land that I swore to give. So this passage tells us that the Israelites were inclined to forsake God even before they entered the land of Canaan. They served the Baals not because they were tempted by the Canaanites, but because their hearts were disposed and curved to whore after idols, to lust after evils, to covet and crave abominations. And so are you and I and our children, until we have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, until we have been renewed in the image of God. I say this to my own sons and to all you children. You are by nature sons of disobedience and children of wrath, a rebellious and stubborn generation. And unless you die on the cross with Jesus, unless you receive a new heart from Jesus, you are doomed to rebel against God. You are doomed to chase after idols. Your father may be a pastor or elder or deacon or faithful churchgoer. You may be homeschooled or go to a Christian school or a Christian college. But you may live in a godly family and have the appearance of godliness. But I tell you, all these things will be of no use to you if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You will abandon God and serve Baal, not because of your neighbors or your friends, but because of yourself, because of your sinful nature. So ask God to renew your mind, that you may know Him. Ask God to open your eyes, that you may see Him. Ask God to circumcise your heart, that you may love Him. ask God to lead you to the cross of Jesus that you may be washed and cleansed with his blood. And ask God to carry you to the throne of Jesus that you may bow down at his feet and serve him all the days of your life. My son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. This is David's last word to Solomon, his son, and may this be the everyday message of all you parents, and may this be the lifelong pursuit of all your children. Know the God of your father and serve him with all your heart. Now we must go quickly to the third reason, the final reason for the apostasy of Israel's next generation. And the third reason is affluence, the affluence of their lives. We have already touched on this point in the passage I quoted from Deuteronomy 31. For when the people of Israel entered the promised land, when they ate of the produce of the land, and became full and grown fat, they kicked the Lord and went after the idols. When they moved from the wilderness to large cities, when they moved from booths to furnished houses, when their herds and flocks multiplied and their silver and gold increased, their hearts became lifted up and they forgot the Lord their God. And they said in their hearts, who is the Lord? I don't need him. For with my own power, with my own hands, I have gained all these wealth. And I shall be rich. I shall prosper forever. Oh, brothers and sisters, it is not what has happened to us, to this nation, to our land. We become rich, we become strong, we are prospered, we think we have no need of God, and so we despise the Lord and put trust in our own strength and our own wealth. And it's not this why God has brought upon us plagues and famines, wars and inflation, afflictions and trials, that we may be humbled and drawn back to him. You may wish that God would have left you alone, that God would have left you to enjoy all the affluence and the prosperity of the world. But God can't leave you alone, but cannot leave you to go after the gods of this world, to lust after the pleasures of the world, and to remain in the corruptions of the world. Because our God is a faithful and a steadfast God, and he will never leave you or forsake you. And he will do everything. He will use all means, even those hard things, even those difficult means that you don't like, that you don't want, to bring you back to him, to turn you back to him, just as he did to the Israelites in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges. Even if the whole generation forgets him, forsakes him, and rejects him, God still remembers his people. God still keeps his sheep, and God still redeems his children. And despite the negligence of our fathers, despite the influence of our neighbors, despite the corruption of our nature, despite the affluence of our society, God will keep his covenant from generation to generation. And God will advance his kingdom from generation to generation. And God will save his people, continue to save his people from generation to generation. For his steadfast love endures forever and ever, and his faithfulness lasts from generation to generation. Now, to Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we think or ask, to him be glory in the church and through Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, we acknowledge before you that we are a rebellious and unfaithful generation. And we acknowledge that our fathers were rebellious and unfaithful. And we know that our children are rebellious and unfaithful. But you alone are faithful from generation to generation. And so we do not lose hope. So we do not despair. So Lord, let us be diligent to make known to our children your mighty deeds. And let our children be eager to know you as their God and Savior. And let one generation commend your great works to another, so that you may be praised forever and ever. We ask these things in Jesus' name, our faithful and beloved Lord Jesus. Amen.